another transducer that is completely similar to the wire potentiometer, in the sense that its equivalent electronic circuit is exactly the same. Also, the material structure of which it is made of, it is completely different, is called electro-optical transducer. In this case, we have a multi-layer structure. We could define it as a wafer made up by a blue layer, red layer, and a green layer joined together. The blue layer corresponds to a resistor, that is a material that allows the flow of a current, but with a certain degree of opposition, while the red layer is made off by photoconductive material, that is a material that becomes conductive when lighted properly, of course. And finally, the green layer, that is completely conductive and corresponds to the output pin from which the voltage output signal can be read, can be acquired by the microprocessor. The idea is that to establish a mobile bridge between the blue part of the transducer and the green one, exploiting the possibility of making the photoconductive material really conductive. To do this, you see in the slide a light foil colored in yellow. This is a light blade that moves accordingly with an object that is moving along a linear direction. And moving, we mean from the top to the bottom of the transducer, is completely equivalent to the cursor of the potentiometer and establishes a connection between the resistor and the green part, the output pin of the transducer, so carrying out the same situation that we have seen for the potentiometer, that is, the output pin into which the voltage is taken corresponds to the partition of the overall resistor, in this case the blue layer, in two parts. The first part is the resistor that goes from the cursor towards the power supply E. And the second part is the resistor that goes from the cursor up to the ground. So the same considerations that we have done in the previous case can be also repeated for such a kind of transducer. And finally, we can say that the output voltage taken in the green part of the transducer is proportionally to the distance by which the light foil moves on towards the upper part of the transducer or towards the lower part of the transducer, in any case along a linear axis. The same consideration can be done, and I'm referring now to the slide number 9, the same considerations can be done about the output impedance of the transducer. Also in this case, the output impedance is variable, is maximum in the center, that is in half the length of the transducer, and is null, is zero, at the two edges. So we need a buffer between the output of the transducer and all the electronic circuits that can be eventually be put between the transducer and the microprocessor. There is an advantage in such a kind of device, that is the completely absence of mechanical contacts, so we don't have any friction, we don't have any consumption, the life duration is longer than in the case of the potentiometer, and we don't have any kind of hysteretical effects because we don't have any resistance to the movement of the light foil, of the light blade. The only drawback is related to the accuracy with which the light generation must be assured. That is, we need enough large camera into which we have a light source, and we have to put the blade that must be mobile, connected to an object that moves along a direction. This requires a particular careful construction, so costs not cheap, and clearly requires also enough size, so in terms of dimension this transducer is not small, and we could say that is not particularly suitable for embedded applications. Till now we considered the transducers that typically are supplied with direct current. They can also be supplied with AC, with alternate current, but there is no reason for doing this. Moreover, the electronic circuits beyond these transducers would be a little bit complicated and, generally speaking, expensive in terms of general costs of the electronic logic. Now we see another kind of potentiometer. I'm referring to the slide number 10, that is called capacitive potentiometer because it is based on the usage of capacitors. We could talk about virtual capacitors, as we will see in a moment. Consider two surfaces that in the figure are called C1 and C2. They are fixed, and over these two fixed surfaces we have another surface that is shown in the figure, that is mobile, connected to the object that moves along a direction, along an axis, and of which we want to measure the displacement. Both the surfaces C1, C2, and the mobile one are conductive, but they are separated by the electric medium. Typically we talk about air, but in general this is not said, and on this basis they establish the conditions for considering a virtual capacitor, because we have two armors separated by a dielectric and supplied, of course, and here we have the difference between this potentiometer and the previous one, supplied with AC, with alternate current. The figure shows that we have two capacitors. The first is due to the superposition of the mobile armor The mobile armor in the figure is shown by this dark blue square, let's say. Repeat, the first capacitor C1 is given by the partial superposition of the mobile armor with the fixed C1 armor. And the same consideration can be done for the second armor, so we have a certain part of the mobile armor that is overlapped with the C2 fixed one. We could evaluate also in this case a electronic equivalent circuit that is shown in the lower part of the slide, considering the output voltage V that is taken through a connection, through a wire that is connected to the mobile armor. From this point of view, the output V sees the two capacitors as they were in parallel, with the C2 capacitor, the C2 fixed armor, connected to the E power supply, E alternate power supply, while the C1 armor is connected to the ground. We know that the capacity is related to the size of the armors. In particular, C1, the first capacity, is given by the product of the height, age, times the horizontal dimension that corresponds to the superposition of the blue dark armor with the C1. That is, if L is the horizontal size of the blue armor, L minus X, minus X, X is the size of the superposition between the blue armor and the C2 one. So I repeat, C1 is equal to H times L minus X, multiplied by the vacuum dielectric constant epsilon 0 and divided by the distance between the two armors, delta. Similar considerations can be done also in the second case, where the size, the horizontal size, is only X, so the capacity is C2 equal to H times X, multiplied again the vacuum dielectric constant epsilon 0 and divided by delta. By applying the recipes relative to the Norton laws to the equivalent electronic circuit that we have identified before, we can write that the output voltage V is equal to the partitioning between the first capacitor and the second capacitor. So we will have that V is equal to 1 divided by SC1, all divided by the sum of the two impedances of the two capacitors, 1 on SC1 plus 1 on SC2, divided by E. Is only the case to briefly mention that E divided by the sum of the two capacities is the current that flows in such a kind of circuit, and multiplying this current by 1 on SC1, we obtain the voltage drop on C1 capacitor. Very few and simple calculations bring us replacing the values of the capacitors that we have defined before, C1 and C2, to a final formula that is very similar to the one we obtained for the wire potentiometer, X divided by L multiplied by E. E is the power supply, alternate power supply. X is the partial displacement of the mobile armor with respect to the two fixed ones. And L is the total size of the mobile armor. That is also the maximum distance, the maximum displacement that can be measured with such a kind of potentiometer. And also in this case, we have to observe that the distances that we can measure with such a kind of transducer are in the set of centimeters, that is 10, 20 centimeters, no more than this. But again, the expression is very, very simple and very elegant, showing a direct dependence between the voltage measured in output and the physical magnitude that we want to measure, X. This expression also shows the possibility of evaluating the sensibility of the transducer. That is given basically by the inverse of the length of the mobile armor. That is, to change the sensibility of the transducer, we can only modify that dimension of the overall transducer. The linearity, however, can be obtained completely only if we rectify the signal. Don't forget, in fact, that the power supply is alternate, so we need to eliminate, to cancel the dependence of such a kind of potentiometer on the sinusoidal waveform component due to the AC power supply. If we eliminate this dependence, and we will see in the electronic part of the course how to do this, we will have a direct dependence only on X, because E will be replaced by the maximum amplitude of the sinusoidal waveform and L is constant, and we will have a completely linear transducer as we want. What is the output impedance in such a case? Again, we have to see the impedances that can be calculated from the output voltage point of view. And again, in this case, we see that we have the parallel between the second capacitor and the first capacitor. So the output impedance is the sum of the two components, 1 divided by S multiplying C1 and C2. S is the frequency, that is the expression of the output impedance is given in the Laplace domain. By replacing the values of C1 and C2 with the previous definitions that we have written in the slide 10, we obtain that the output impedance is delta divided by S, H, L, and the vacuum constant, the electric constant, whose value is very, very low, 10 power minus 12 farad per meter, multiplied by, let's say, 10, instead is 8.85. And this implies a problem. That is, if you consider the size of which we are talking about, delta, H, L, they are more or less centimeter. We have several times observed that such a kind of transducers are used for small displacement, not for big ones. So, if we consider centimeters in the upper part of this ratio and in the lower part, we can say that the contribute of delta is more or less compensated by the contribute of age or L. So in the product age L, only one size remain in terms of affecting the value epsilon 0. Epsilon 0 is expressed in terms of meter. So if we replace meter with centimeter, 10 power minus 12 becomes 10 power minus 10. But finally, the idea is that 10 power minus 10 in the lower part of this ratio will bring a very high impedance in output if we don't compensate it with the magnitude S. That, however, is the working frequency. And you know, we cannot bring the frequency with which we are working too high, because to work with megahertz or even with gigahertz implies very complex electronic circuits, the possibility of disturbing, of inducing electromagnetic field in the surrounding, and this is not what we want. All these considerations suggest us that the output impedance of such a kind of potentiometer could be relatively high, and in this case we need, as in the previous case, a buffer to separate, we said in the past, to decouple the output impedance of this potentiometer from all the electronic circuit that we can have in the acquisition chain beyond such a kind of transducer, of device. Moreover, let me observe that increasing the working frequency will complicate the measurement, in particular considering the rectifying circuits. We will see this in the next lessons, but still now we can say that working with high frequency is not suitable with the rectifier networks that include operational amplifier that could cut some frequencies. In other words, that could not be able to arrive to high frequencies. Another consideration must be done about border effects. The closer the armor are, the flatter will be the curve below and above a certain distance. That is, if we come back to the slide number 10, and if we consider the blue armor, basically there is a loss of accuracy in the measurement. That is, the maximum coupling between the blue armor and one of the two fixed armors is maximum, even there is not a perfect correspondence, a perfect superposition between the two armors. In other words, it's like an eclipse. When the armor, it is not necessary that the mobile armor is complete, overlapped to the C1 or C2 armors to have the maximum capacity. And this means, and I go again to the slide 11, that for some displacements close to the maximum possible and close to the minimum possible, the capacity doesn't change from a partial superposition, that is 90%, up to the 100%. In that case, the capacity C1 and C2 changes, but in a not appreciable way. This is due to the geometric effects of the capacitors, and is let's say an error, an accuracy that we introduce into the transducer due to the particular choice of the mechanism we have implemented for measuring the displacement. Luckily, these effects are not very critical and happen only when we are close to the maximum and close to the minimum displacement possible. So we can say that we lose some percent points considering the complete range of displacement we could have with such a kind of transducer. Two positive aspects of such a kind of device are related to the complete absence of contacts, so no hysteretical curve like in the first potentiometer, and longer average life due to the absence of damages related to frictions and other kinds of danger situations.